Hello and welcome to the Human Condition podcast on Resilience Radio. I'm Lee Hatcher. I'm a bit of a gardener. One of the highlights of my gardening year is seeing the first buds of Agapanthus emerging, which means that Christmas is just around the corner. I love Christmas. Mostly I breathe a bit of a sigh of relief for a break, as John Lennon sang, another year over and a new one just begun. But I've also known the family's stresses and tension over all the decisions about where we'll celebrate, when and with whom. Peace and goodwill? All that tension is only heightened when you try to do it with separated or blended families. And with the high rates of divorce and marriage breakdowns, a really large number of people are facing up to all that pressure. So, here at the Resilience Centre, we're putting up this Christmas Family Special podcast to inject some resilience and really practical tips into this Christmas. I'm in conversation with Davide Di Pietro, a clinical social worker and the principal therapist with the Resilience Centre Family Clinic. He's had a wealth of experience working with parents and children of separated families. Davide, welcome.
Great to be here, Lee.
Great to see you. When I say to you, Christmas is coming, what goes through your mind?
Lee, I have both equal and opposite reactions, I think. It's such a big time of the year, and it's a time that's usually associated with spending lots of time with family and eating lots of food and presents and holidays and summer for us. And having worked with separated families for a few years now, I've noticed working that with families, it can also be a time of high anxiety and of tension.
Yes. We'll often hear lots of professionals and parents talking about in the best interests of the child in this space. How does that work, or how can that best work at Christmas time, David?
I think that term is a good north when making decisions, but at Christmas time, it's really probably more of an opportunity for us to do that, and a little bit easier for us to focus on what the kids need and how to make it a special time for them. But in saying that, at the same time, if parents are okay, then children usually do okay. So it's important that as a parent, you feel like you're coping well and that you're planned and comfortable.
So you would respectfully say to the parents, look, it's not about you principally. It is about your kids.
It's absolutely about the kids first. So, we don't want to make it all about you as the parent.
Yes.
But it's important to gauge how you're going and how you're coping at that time.
Okay. One of the big things confronting parents is whether or not they'll have their children with them on Christmas morning, or at all, for that matter, on Christmas Day. How do you best begin to negotiate that, especially in a separated or a blended family?
If this is the first or one of many Christmases after separation, there are a few changes that might need to happen and some traditions that parents might need to let go of or even create new ones. Some families feel like they're really set in the way that they spend Christmas together. Some families like to have lunch on Christmas Day. Some like to have Christmas Eve dinner. Others like to go away.
And it's always the way we've done it.
Always the way we've done it. It's so hard to let go of those traditions.
Why is it? What's the big deal with being flexible with traditions?
I think the fact that there's this sense of nostalgia that's connected to it all.
Yes.
It's the way that we've always done it. It feels odd if it's different. And so I think that can be part of it.
And perhaps undermines the strength or even the identity of the family, I guess.
That is such a good point, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I worked with a family who traditionally travelled interstate to visit one side of the extended family, and in the case of this family, both parents were able to continue to hold that tradition for their child. One main difference was that one parent didn't travel with them for Christmas, but it was really nice that they were able to agree that this was an important tradition and really an opportunity for the child to see extended family members who lived interstate that they wouldn't necessarily get to see at other times throughout the year.
Yes.
If there are certain traditions that one side of the family have that don't legitimately clash with the other side of the family's plans I would probably say try to accommodate those traditions so that the child's sense of self and sense of family identity remain intact.
So that's an important thing for a child to notice, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. They are so attuned to change, and alike for adults, change is uncomfortable and it takes some getting used to.
There's a certain security in that, I guess, for them.
For sure there is. You know, in some cases where parents can't agree on how children should spend time with them or with extended family members over Christmas, it's okay to let go of some of those traditions that we've held on to. It's really kind of exciting to evolve and create new traditions.
Okay.
I guess I'm saying don't get hung up.
Yes, okay. Don't get hung up. I got the message.
Some parents opt to alternate Christmas, so Christmas Day with Christmas Eve each year.
Yep.
Others like to split the day so that children get an opportunity to spend time with both parents and both sides of the family. I think when working with families, I've noticed that considering logistics is really important, just how that's going to work. How are we going to get children from one side of the family to another side of the family? And often there's hours of travelling involved.
My family had one of these Christmas days probably about 25, 30 years ago. And after it, I said, this has to stop. So we saw my wife's family for lunch. Then we did my family, you know, miles and miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just ridiculous.
We were all exhausted by it.
But the creative solution, and we all went with it, was that one side of the family does the Saturday before Christmas and it survives to this day. And the other does Christmas Day. Everybody's happy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. There are solutions everywhere. And planning ahead. Ideally, it's an event that can be planned or arranged 6 months and even a year in advance.
Yeah.
By giving advance notice, you'll have other family members be able to organise themselves.
I agree with that. Now, all this sounds very calm and sensible and rational, but in these circumstances, there can also be lots of emotion raging underneath all this, especially at this time. So maybe do you have some principles that we can apply to these decisions, these dilemmas, before the emotions kick in?
Yeah, look, what I want to say there is it's all about the children, not the parents. Grown-ups need to be grown-ups.
That's a good point.
I've heard a colleague of mine talk about putting your big boy pants on or your big girl pants on. And I guess that's a bit, that's what it's like.
I will store that away. I'll remember that phrase.
Also, remember that kids don't adjust to ongoing conflict between parents. I once interviewed a child whose parents were having a hard time deciding how the child should spend time with them, with each parent over Christmas. I spoke to the child, and as they were talking to me, they welled up with tears. It was heartbreaking to sit there and hear the father had actually told the child that it was all the mother's fault that they couldn't figure this out. It was actually the mother's decision to initiate the separation, and so the father was holding on to that months later. So when it came to them trying to negotiate Christmas, that conversation came back up.
How old was the kid?
10 years old.
Dad, put your big boy pants on.
I don't feel like I can say that in the therapy room, so I'm glad that's you said it.
Podcast is safe. What about parents who know they won't be spending Christmas with their children, don't they?
Not waking up with your child or seeing what Santa Claus has brought them, having a fun-filled, lazy morning is a difficult moment for a lot of parents.
Which I get. Yes.
Keep in mind, though, Christmas morning is one part of a larger holiday or experience. There's plenty of times to be festive. It doesn't have to be the morning of the 25th of December.
Yep, that's true.
Parents who are not with their children on Christmas often talk to me about making an effort not to be alone on Christmas. And I think that that's a really important point. Spending time with family and friends, regardless of whether the children are there or not, can be a really helpful thing. Not only from the time that parents spend away from their children, but also from the time that they spend with their children.
Yes.
Children often keep their absent parent in mind. They worry about their parent when they're not with them, and they're thinking about what they're getting up to, if they're lonely, those kind of things.
So you'd give children more credit than perhaps parents give them.
My
about
gosh.
About their emotions.
Absolutely. Yeah, so much. They just detect something a vibe, an energy. I'm not sure how they do it.
They've got very acute radar.
So, from the moment that they reconnect with a parent, they can tell how the parent is going, and they do a very quick assessment of that.
Mm.
A child can tell if a parent is well-adjusted, if a parent is happy, or if the parent is struggling in the moment when they reconnect.
Mate, even my dog does. So I'm sure a child does as well. Gifts and Christmas can also be a really tricky arena. So what's your wisdom there?
Lee, once again, let's keep the focus on the children.
Yeah.
Some parents tend to want to do more, bigger, better. You know, they want to outdo the other parent when it comes to their child's experience of Christmas.
Kind of competing for their attention and
love.
Yeah,
yeah. They're so active in getting the whole family together, in decking every hall and hallway with decorations, getting the most extravagant gifts, and also kind of recruiting other family members to do the same thing, to make it the most special day that it could possibly be. And sometimes there's an agenda behind that. It's to outdo the other parent.
And again, it's about the parent, not the kid.
That's right.
Yeah.
So let me just be really clear. Kids, usually over about 7 or 8 years old, will be onto that. They will figure out what's going on, and that will only push them away from the parent who's putting in the over-the-top effort. For kids younger than that, they may buy into it, and they may really lap it up and enjoy it, but then what the risk is that there's this sense of entitlement that can develop.
Oh, yes.
And that's not really a great trait or quality for kids to have or adults to have, and it's not really helpful for their future.
So again, you're attributing a much more sophisticated thought process and what goes on in a child's mind than I think many parents might give them credit for.
Yep, it's the stepping stones to being an adult.
Yes.
So keep it sensible. Think about what your child likes, what their interests are. And you could even go one step further and consider discussing those ideas with the other parent. I know parents who have negotiated and bought a joint present, or who have even bought complementing presents. So if there's several parts to the present, one parent has bought one part and the other parent has bought the other part.
It's pretty impressive. Yeah,
really. If you're not seeing your child, or if it's been some time since seeing your child, my advice would be to buy and send them a present just the same.
Okay.
Children can feel forgotten by a parent if they don't see them, and that's regardless of the circumstances.
It's great wisdom in all of this. Sometimes, David, extended family members can be a help.
They can. Sometimes they can be help.
That's right. I was going to just add that. But
what I want to say about extended family members is inviting them into what's going on and into the experience. It can be a really helpful thing.
They've got to be grown up as well.
But they do have to be grown up. Yeah, absolutely. Considering logistics about how to get everybody in extended families all together in the same place at the same time is really, really challenging and unrealistic.
I don't want to think about it.
So plan ahead and have the conversation so that everybody can kind of do their best and put their best foot forward.
Okay.
If parents have a strained relationship and are not really seeing each other or not able to be in the same place at the same time, extended family members can actually be really helpful and useful in helping to facilitate a successful Christmas for kids. Whether that's kind of on a practical level by helping with drop-offs and pickups, changeovers, or on an emotional level by simply asking or showing interest in a gift that the child has received from another family member on the other side of the family.
Yeah. And to those extended members of the family, if it's been tense, and it probably has been, you'd be telling them to act like the adult, and it's all about the kids too.
All about the kids.
Yeah. Can you give us a real-life example of how these minefields have been negotiated well by a family you've helped? Of course, no names, no pack drill.
I've worked with so many families, and they've been able to negotiate how to make Christmas work for them. And I think there are elements of lots of different families that I would take and I would keep. But I've never worked with one family, and I've never experienced, even on a personal level, one family who's got Christmas absolutely right.
Everybody's different, and all circumstances are different. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So whether it's about buying joint presents, or it's about being flexible, or it's about letting go of old traditions and creating new ones, keeping the focus on making it a special day and a relaxing day is probably the key.
Yeah. So I'd like to wrap up with something perhaps a bit more personal for you, Davide. All this has been pretty close to home for you in recent years, coming from a big Italian family. Tell us about your experience.
Tradition is huge for us.
Yes.
And similar to your story about negotiating Christmas with everybody, forever, I think, we have decided to split the day, and that is spend time with both sides of the family on Christmas Day.
Okay.
And every single year, really, for as long as I can remember, it has all of the joy, it has all of the fun, it has all of the filling, but it also has angst, and it has tension, and it has stress. And
logistics.
Logistics. I don't know, in recent years, especially after partners and children come into the mix, I don't think that there really has been a Christmas where we've been able to see everybody.
And that's okay.
That is okay.
Yes.
That is okay.
Yeah.
But when you're locked into tradition, that's not okay.
Yeah.
So I think being able to be flexible in creating new traditions is what I think has been helpful. Our family decided last year for the first time to celebrate Christmas with one side of the family the weekend before Christmas itself, the 25th of December. I can't wait for this Christmas.
Oh, that's good.
It was the most wonderful time that we got to relax with all of our family members. I think we got to see most of them over that period. It was so easy. Nobody got upset. Nobody was missed. And I think everybody can't wait for the new tradition.
Oh, that's so good. And from there, I wish you a very happy Christmas.
Thank you.
And to all our listeners,
Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. Head to the Resilience Centre website for an inspiring range of other podcasts and so many great resources. www.theresiliencecentre.com.au